أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We look at the tafsir, Surah Al-Kahf, Ayat 4-12. وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And this Quran came so that it warns those who say that Allah took upon for himself a child or a son. The Mushrik of Makkah would say, Na'udhu Billah, that Allah has daughters. But ascribing a son to Allah, whose aqidah is this? The Nasara or Christians, the Quran was sent to warn those who ascribe a son or daughter to Allah. This is a major and a big sin and a big misguidance of mankind that he attributes a child to Allah. Allah is pure from this because having a son or a daughter as an offspring is a need and considered a weakness. Allah is pure from any weaknesses. The biggest sin is attributing or ascribing partners to Allah, and saying that Allah has a child is shirk. In a hadith, it is mentioned that there is no one more patient than Allah, whom people slander and ascribe lies to him, and they ascribe an offspring to him. Yet he provides provision of sustenance to them. This is a slander upon Allah, and Shaitan instilled these false matters in mankind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He tells mankind such things about Allah that they have no knowledge about. People say this without knowledge or proof. So to warn those who ascribe a son or daughter to Allah, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, of which they nor their forefathers have any true knowledge about. They say that we heard our forefathers say this, and we all believed in this. Rather, you have no knowledge. So what becomes means of shirk? Lack of knowledge or ilm. While they are people of the book, yet they have no knowledge. This is due to their stubbornness that we will only do what our forefathers have been doing. Even if the book is clearly shown to them, even then, they do not want to understand. Due to this lack of knowledge, they slander Allah and they fabricate a big lie. While even if someone falsely excuses us of something, we who are so incomparable to being of Allah, we would not tolerate it. For example, if someone says that I had said something while I had not, I would be angry. And Allah, who is pure and no one comparable to him, and who is the master of the entire universe, if such an insignificant man is slandering him and ascribing things that are not true, then this is a grave sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have no knowledge. What are sources of divine knowledge? Revelation of heavenly books. Did a book come to them stating that he has a child? Or has those who falsely attribute recognized in the horizon? Or is it in one's intellect, as one adds 1 + 1 = 2? While there is no proof, not in any divine book, nor comprehensible in any intellect, those who falsely ascribe and those who blindly follow them, despite having a divine book, this is a big lie that comes out of their mouth. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, if the heavens hear, they would fall upon mankind due to this false accusation, and the mountains would crumble to dust. Such a big matter that they state. It is a tremendous word that comes out of their mouths. Why is the aqidah of Nasara mentioned here? As the time near the day of Qiyamah is nearing, we see Western views dominating the world. And in their views, there is no concept of the hereafter. We see more and more godless societies, and the concept of worshiping God is uncommon. Most Christians believe that Isa alayhi salam has taken all their sins, and they do not need to worry. So those with this faith will cause trouble near the end of time. This false aqidah has affected the believers in their own faith, as many do not follow it, and other people of different faiths are doing the same thing after them, saying religion is a shackle on one's neck and there is no need for it, or considering something backward. As Western societies have become devoid of religion, and the rest of the world, being impressed with their development, follows after them in following their belief systems. Where did this aqidah or belief in Trinity come from? Isa alayhi salam did not tell people that he was son of God, nor that people should worship him. But this concept came much later, after Isa alayhi salam. Saint Paul introduced the concept of Trinity, and Pope was ordained an authority to dictate what was lawful or unlawful. And this began a long time ago. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that their saying this is not a small matter, but as na'udhu billah, insulting Allah. In one hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state that it is not befitting for son of Adam that he they curse me. What is considered cursing of Allah when they ascribe a child unto Allah? On the day of Qiyamah, when Isa alayhi salam is asked, did you tell them to take yourself as a son of God? Isa alayhi salam will start trembling, so much so that blood will start flowing from every pore of his body. He will say, O Allah, I did not say such a thing. If I did, you would have surely known it. I know what is in my heart, but I do not know what is in yours. إِن يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. And they are not saying except a lie. How many around us who believe in this? However, we do not try to convey the message of Allah to them, nor we have an earnest desire to convey the truth to others. Well, how was the conveying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet. O Prophet, will you destroy yourself upon the fact that they do not believe in this message? The word بَاخِيٌ shows a person in extreme depression and grief, so much so that he would be near death. عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ, upon their traces, their condition. We see a prophet following after people concerned and telling people to believe in the message of the Quran, to believe in the truth. He is following after them with worry and concern and in grief. Why? إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. That why are they not believing in this message? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not grieved that the people are not listening to his words or his being rejected, but the wahi and the revelation. Why are they not taking heed to that? Here the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described. From the grief, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was close to his own death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, addressing him, saying, will you destroy yourself? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that my example and your example is of a man who lit a fire. When the fire was ablaze, in it started falling the moths and other flying insects, and the man tries to push them away from the fire. I am that man, and I am trying to grab hold of you and trying to save you from falling into the fire. But you break yourself loose from me and fall into the fire. We can see the pains of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His grief was not over the fact that there was no bread nor any other food at home, as the fire to cook was not lit for months at a time in his home. So his complaining was not how much other people are eating, while I have nothing. Nor was it that look at others with so many kids, why mine have died, and why I do not have any son or heir. No, this was not his grief, as is ours today. His grief was his worry where mankind is headed. What will happen to them if they persist upon the wrong and false aqidah? What would happen to them on the day of judgment? He also worried how the people of this false aqidah would negatively affect his ummah. He was concerned about us. The prophet that we say we follow, what were his worries and griefs? And if we look at our own selves, what are our griefs today? We must look in ourselves. What worries and griefs makes us restless at nights? Are our worries limited to our own personal self, our families, our things, our assets, our jobs, our children, our homes, our life? It is just about us? For them, it was not about themselves. Allah Himself comforts him and is already forgiven and one guaranteed the highest rank in paradise. He should not have been one to worry or grieve. This was because he did not worry for himself, but worried about others. He did not complain that so-and-so insulted him and did not give him respect, nor so-and-so did not give him his right, nor did not get this or that, and that he was born an orphan, nor the people do not follow him or value him. If he worried about these things, he would have so many griefs. But these things were not his worry. In a hadith, we learn the Prophet ﷺ said that grief is my companion. Which problem he did not have to face, but which worry made him restless? The Quran testifies to his grief. It was, why do not people believe? Why are people not believing in the message of the Quran? And why do they reject it? Do we feel the pain when even our own Muslims do not want to hear? Most Muslims say verbally, yes, we believe in the Quran, and that's it. They have no interest in learning and understanding it. How much does this grieve us or even worry us? Today, even making Muslims hear the Quran to understand is just as hard as the disbelievers that day. Today, Muslims have to be convinced to come and learn and have to follow after them as if the caller is the one who wants something from them. But we do not have any grief or worry about people not coming to the Quran. We do not even have half the amount. Because if we did, we would have worked hard to convey it to many people. Our worries and griefs are for other things. And this is why this is our state today. Then we complain about our condition and how others perceive us. People will only consider us what we show them to be, one who succumbs to violence, because this is only what they see. They do not see us with any goodness, nor ones who have regard for mankind. If we look at the late Abdul Sattar Idi from Pakistan, who was an ordinary man, without riches, but due to his regard for other humans and desire to serve them, he took care of them. Because of that, he is well known. Even if not every person of this ummah does not become Abdul Sattar Idi, but if in every Muslim community, just even one man is like him, wouldn't the world recognize Muslims as ones who are at the forefront of helping others and friends of the needy? The Prophet ﷺ did not teach us to hate. The Prophet ﷺ would worry so much to the point of grief even for those who did not believe. He did not hate them, nor could he sleep at night. This is testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the fact how much the Prophet ﷺ grieved for mankind. And even for those who did not believe, but mocked him and insulted him, even for them. How is that we do not have such concern for others, that we become those without sympathy towards others? This is because we have made our mission of life something else. People will not just believe with our saying how we are sympathetic to mankind, but how we behave and act. The Prophet ﷺ was grieved over turning away of Kufar and would stand up in prayer at night crying for his ummah. Doesn't his crying at night show his concern for mankind? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us his regard for mankind and makes clear to us what our worry should be. It should not be over things he wrote for us as our destiny, but to worry for others' misguidance. This is what should make us worried. This is the worry of the prophets. We call ourselves follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and consider him as our ideal and shed tears in his remembrance, while we do not have his concern nor the love for mankind. We do not find anyone with this much concern. Everyone is absorbed in their own lives and worry for their own benefit and lose sleep over one's own losses. How many from us have an earnest desire and worry and concern about conveying to non-Muslims? Did we just learn hatred and only spread that? As a child only learns to hate from within home and then grows up to do the same. Likewise, most people grow up with this. No one taught us how our Prophet ﷺ was. He did not hate, not even with the hypocrites. He did not reject them nor reproach them, despite what they used to do. What do we learn? And what do we learn from his life? If we want to see the reality, we could look in his seerah, then we will see what was his conduct. He was called Rahmat lil Alameen, mercy for mankind and everyone. We are at such a level that we do not even tolerate the different firqas or sects. We criticize and hate people of different sects. Isn't it enough that they recite La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah? The judgment about the differences will be made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should convey the truth, but not hate each other, nor humiliate each other, nor have enmity towards each other. This is not allowed. There were always ikhtilaf, or minor differences of opinions, in the ummah, and will always be, but we cannot have hostility towards each other. What is happening today is not acceptable. The Prophet ﷺ said, "More than trial of Dajjal, I fear the differences arising among you." Because the Prophet ﷺ knew about the different sects that would arise in his ummah and what would happen as its outcome. Today, half the ummah we consider as disbelievers. The Prophet ﷺ told us at his time, the trial of Dajjal would be big, but the differences of Muslims among the Muslim Ummah will bring losses to Muslims themselves and will be greater than the trial of Dajjal. Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as Dajjal will have treasures, remember that whatever that is upon the earth is its beauty and adornment. Either they be palaces, heaps of gold and silver, women, rivers, springs, greeneries. Whenever we see all the beauty, think of this ayah, zinata laha. But why is the earth made so beautiful? Linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, so that we may test them which are ones to do best deeds. Who is one who sees the beauty of the earth and gets absorbed in it? And who is one who doesn't get impressed or distracted with all the lush and beauty of this world, but attaches himself to Allah and remembers his Rabb, who he is, and does not forget his own purpose. If there was no beauty upon the earth, man would not incline and get attracted towards it. But Allah wants to see who gets lost in its glitter and who is one who recognizes his Creator. Despite the beauty and attractions tempting him constantly, but chooses to spend his life in obedience of Allah. This world will have its beauty, its pomp and show, and will try to divert man. But who is sincere and focused and doesn't forget Allah, and one who turns to Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The world, the dunya, is sweet and green and very attractive. It will call you to itself. But Allah made you Khalifa, a viceroy upon the earth, and wants to see what you do. So save yourself from the attractions of this world and women, because the first trial for Bani Israel was women. Men are told that women are made attractive for men and made a trial. So men are admonished to save themselves. This world is about to end and to perish. The earth will become plain flat, upon which nothing will remain. The Prophet ﷺ warned us about this." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it attractive so he could test us. If there was no gold or silver nor other attractions and were just flat and plain, then how would we be tested? Allah has put so many attractions that man gets engrossed in them. Man's mind is constantly occupied with thoughts of this world. From dawn to dusk, Allah wants to see what we do living here. On one side are the attractions of this world. So do you leave it to obey Allah? This is how Allah knows who is sincere. Even if a man is granted everything, does he get so indulged in it? In its attractions? Homes, cars, beautiful streams, rivers, trees, suns, cars, so many attractions. Does man get engrossed with them? Or he tries to please Allah, doing the best deeds. What is the ahsan, or best deed? One that is according to the sunnah and done exclusively to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two signs. Who among you does these good deeds? It doesn't say who among you does the most good deeds, rather who brings the best deeds. Quality will be checked, not quantity. If a person spends only one dirham in path of Allah, that may be more beloved to Allah than one who spends thousands, if not done with sincerity and for pleasing Allah. If someone prays two nawafil prayers, Allah accepts that, while one who stands up all night in prayer with thoughts of other things and for different reasons than pleasing Allah, Allah does not need that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best deeds.